This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Sonia Yusach-Kuhn from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month, we'll introduce you to people in the community that are making a difference. Our guest today is John Salter. He is the new administrator of the Oaks at Whittaker Glen Mayview Nursing Home. John Salter has always had a love for working with people and felt a calling to work with the senior adult population. He has worked in healthcare for 30 years and has been specifically with long-term care administration for the past 17 years. He attended Southeastern Louisiana University and McNeese State University. John and his family relocated to North Carolina over this past Memorial Day weekend and is immersing himself with the people and culture of the Oaks at Whittaker Glen Mayview. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
Very happy to have you here with us. So, tell me a little bit about the history of Mayview. When did it open? What was it for? And how it evolved?
It has a very storied history, very fascinating, actually. In 1927, the original portion of the building that would eventually become Mayview was built. In 1952, they actually expanded the property to become a tuberculosis hospital. In 1957, Wake County decided to close the TB hospital in August of that year. September 1st of that same year, Mr. Travis Tomlinson Sr. reopened the buildings as a 75-bed Mayview convalescent home. The background of Mr. Tomlinson is that from 1946 to 1957, he was the general manager of Carolina Surgical Supply Company and noticed the quality of services varied considerably among facilities that provided care to the older population. Ultimately, this later caused Mr. Tomlinson to become actively involved in increasing regulation for nursing homes in North Carolina. Mayview became the seventh licensed nursing facility for the state of North Carolina.
The patients that they serve, what is the nature of the population?
We have a very mixed population. We call it acuity. It's different levels of care that are provided within the home. Basically, our staff have a very true and caring spirit. That's one of the main things that drew me to the home, to the facility. We are in the process now of looking at the future. For future growth, right now we're behind us is the Oaks at Whittaker Glen, and that's our independent living facility. They have their own administration team. That's for independent living, senior housing, basically is what that is. We are a skilled nursing facility, so we have short-term rehab to home, sort of is the context of that. We also have long-term custodial care, which is more of the traditional nursing home care. But we serve a variety of population. We have anything from folks that need assistance with reminders for medication, all the way to folks that are bedbound or that have very little family involvement.
And I understand that you serve veterans as well?
Correct. We actually do. I work for our parent company is Pruitt Corporation. They actually have the contracts for the four state veterans homes, but we, as the Oaks at Mayview, Whittaker Glen, also have an actual contract with VA, and we currently serve, I believe, six veterans at this time. We are open to certainly serving more, but it's part of a partnership that we have with the federal government to accommodate folks that are in our area that don't have access to a typical state veterans home.
Well, those people are very lucky to be there, especially this weekend. It's July 4th weekend.
Exactly.
So, very perfect. John, I had occasion to visit Mayview, and I was glad to note that it didn't appear as a stereotypical nursing home, the way they're described, kind of drab and sad. What do you think makes Mayview different?
I think the main thing is probably our staff. We try to recruit and retain the best of the best, and I think that that shows in our customer satisfaction surveys and general communications that I've had personally throughout the facility. We take great pride in our facility, our location, and our reputation. We are continuously working towards making our facility a home away from home. And especially for those entrusted to our care, we consistently look for ways to make things better and improve the quality of life for our residents.
That's very good to hear. So tell me now, in addition to traditional bingo, which is usually associated with nursing homes, speak a little bit about the patients and what kind of recreation and stimulation Mayview provides.
We're very fortunate. We have Michael, who's actually been with the facility for the past 28 years. And he's actually our activities director. He provides a wide variety of programs and outside talent for singing and church service. He has a creative vision, receives individual input from our residents and families during the admission process, and he creates a monthly calendar around what our residents actually like to do. The community continues to wrap its arms around us and contributes to our success. Volunteers in the past and today continue to be an integral part of the robust activities program that we have.
So what kind of volunteers come to Mayview?
It's a wide variety. We have a lot of church groups. We have school functions, school groups that come in. We have folks that need community service hours that we provide that service for them as well. We have sitter services that are in the facility. It's a broad range of different types of things that we have. We have beautiful patios that folks take advantage of to have little picnics on the grounds. We generally invite the public to come into the facility because it is their home away from home for our residents, but we want them to feel as part of the community as they can.
Did you mention sitter service?
We do have sitter services in the facility. It's not something the facility provides, but it is something that is an amenity that the families can purchase if they wish to do so. We basically provide the 24-hour care, security, 3 square meals a day, but sometimes families want an additional touch that's beyond or above what we provide, so they choose to elect to hire outside sitters to come in and provide that extra level of care.
Well, while we're on the topic, how about telling me how many people actually work there?
We have a complement of about 127 that are on our regular TO, our table of organization. We have a variety of different levels of supervision. We have a strong administrative team. I'm part of the new shift in focus with that as the new administrator. I've hired a new director of nursing. We have a new assistant that's actually transferring to us from West Virginia. She's coming on board at the end of July. We have a new staff developer. We have a new person that's called a nurse navigator, which is very unique in long-term care. I've not experienced that. That's sort of a Pruitt Health name, title.
What would she do?
Basically, the good thing there is she bridges the communication between from the point of admission, part of the process that we have, because a lot of our population are rehab to home folks. We have to coordinate with the insurance to plan discharge at the time of admission. So during the course of that process, she is the bridge for that. She helps to coordinate. She's sort of a concierge for the residents themselves and their families, as well as maintaining open lines of communication with insurance and our billing department, making sure that all of the authorizations are properly identified and followed, and making sure that all of the communication lines are in place.
That sounds like a great job.
Excellent.
And while I'm at it, I want to congratulate you on your job. You've only been there a few weeks.
Well, thank you very much.
Are you happy with it?
Very much so. Initially, we were a little concerned. I brought my family with me, of course. I'm the proud father of five children, and my wife is a kindergarten teacher, and we were a little concerned that it may be somewhat cliquish, just being from out of state. We're from New Orleans, and so it's kind of a whole different culture there, of course. But everyone in North Carolina within the Mayview family and throughout all of our interactions have been very helpful, very open. It seems like we're actually out in Fuquay, and it seems like everybody's from somewhere else almost. But it's such a good group of folks. Folks want success. You know, they want us to succeed where we are, and we just could not be happier.
Well, I'm glad for that. You mentioned Louisiana and New Orleans, known for its food. We do know about Emeril.
Exactly.
So can you tell me what's new in the kitchen at Mayview.
Absolutely. We actually have some really interesting things that are happening there. One of the things that I'm advocating for that was brought to my attention that sort of was in the beginning of stages is we are actually looking at our dietary manager meets with every resident at admission and kind of goes over their likes and dislikes. But we do have regulatory requirements, but there's enough freedom with our menu planning that we can provide alternates specific to what our clients like. Right now, we're currently exploring a fine dining experience, and that what that will do for us is it's going to be premium table linens, fresh linens, as well as an expanded menu of food offerings, and a concierge experience for the variety of hydration that we have. Basically, that will be a cart that goes down many times during the day for water, coffee, tea, lemonade, some little cookies and treats, that kind of thing. But just sort of, again, another opportunity for touch, for high touch, and that will be throughout the day.
Special diets, diabetic people?
We do have a registered dietitian that circulates through our building. That's mandated regulatorily for compliance, but she actually is there more often than that. We see her probably every other week. Our dietary manager is a certified dietary manager, but we have specialized therapeutic diets for no concentrated sweets, no added salt, special renal diets, diabetic diets, of course. We even have gluten-free diets. It just depends on what the doctor's orders are. You know, we have to accommodate that by state law. And, of course, we have to follow whatever the doctor's orders are.
Right. Let's see. I believe in your introductory remarks you mentioned that there's a physical therapy department.
Correct. We have a full rehabilitation team that actually is composed of physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. Physical therapy is more with the legs. It's working with walking. It's that type of thing. Occupational therapy is more for hand-eye coordination, tactile stimulation, activities of daily living. One of the main things that we do is we try to return folks to their highest level of independence. And that's what our therapy team actually does for us, is they are a complement to our nursing department as well as our physician teams, that we can coordinate exactly what care is required. Does require a lot of cueing of folks a lot of the time, a lot of motivation. We have an excellent team that does that, kind of with the kind, gentle touch. But, of course, in order to get better, you have to put in the work sometimes. And a lot of the time, that's what we're finding is folks will plateau to where they've done all that they can do. And most of our folks that are in the rehab to home program participate in a managed care environment that sort of coordinates that care. And we submit documentation to them. They, in turn, let us know when that authorization needs to end. So we basically are working with them on that level. That's the Part A side. And then that's the skilled side. We also have Part B services. Part A gives you 5 days a week of intense therapy. Part B gives you 3 days a week. And then there's also a restorative program. If the insurance doesn't qualify you for coverage on the Part B side, then restorative is part of our nursing team, designated CNAs that actually provide the additional walking, assistance with activities of daily living, those types of things, again, to try to reach and or maintain your highest level of independence.
So you're sort of doing it on both sides of the aisle. Rehab to home means people from the outside who are not residents of Mayview can come to Mayview.
Correct.
For rehabilitative purposes.
Correct, correct.
And then the people who are actual residents, if they need that service, they're right there. And they get that service as well.
Exactly, exactly. And that actually bridges into another good part of the conversation in that the goal, the eventual plan is there's sort of a five-year plan where right now we have independent living, which is behind the facility. It's a three-story beautiful structure. It's the Oaks at Whitaker Glen. We're the Oaks at Whitaker Glen Mayview. Mayview is the skilled care component. So it's for the folks that need long-term care or short-term care. So as it is now, we have folks that residents that are in the Oaks Whitaker Glen, that's the independent living, say if they were to, you know, God forbid, fall and break a hip. We're right there. They go out to the hospital, have surgery, then come to us for rehab services before they can go back home. Well, the plan eventually, what we're moving towards is to add an assisted living component, which is between those two levels. Basically, you have the acute level of care, which is the hospital. The step down to that is the skilled level of care. The step down from that would be assisted living. Say they don't need 24-hour care, but they may just need assistance with medication reminders or maybe some meal preparation, that type thing. That's assisted living. And then independent living is they basically can do everything on their own. That's sort of the future goal that we see moving towards, as far as Whitaker Glen, that whole compound is going to become a medical complex that can meet all of those needs.
What's the acreage?
I believe we are, around 56 acres, I think, that we're sitting on. We are looking at actually expanding that. There's a couple of properties that are adjacent to us that we're looking to absorb. It just depends on, you know, with the negotiations of land value and what we can purchase. That's kind of why I think it's a five-year plan, because our building, as I said, was built back in 1927. It started off as a home, and then it slowly grew over time. So now we are on the National Historic Register. So we have to be very careful about any additions or amendments or even repainting. It goes through a very strenuous process of approvals. So basically what we're looking to do is we want to make sure that we are meeting the needs of the residents that are currently there, but also be attractive to outside folks that may be looking for this type of need.
And are there other renovations in progress right now?
We are looking at our dining program. We are looking to, as effective as yesterday, we are looking at reworking our flooring options, just again to make things aesthetically pleasing. Just over time, of course, as the building has settled, there are issues that we are constantly sort of negotiating with that are challenges with the flooring, that type thing. It's all safe, but it's just a matter of, again, being sort of aesthetic, you know, looking better. Again, you know, sort of the thought process a lot of the time tends to be, well, if it's newer, it's better. Of course, that's not always the case. And that's kind of our situation is I love the fact that we have such history. You know, I came from one of the war veterans homes that I worked in Jackson, Louisiana, was part of the old tuberculosis hospital type setup, and old mental health homes back from the 1800s. So I have a very strong love, and of course, being from the South, you know, I like the history that we're surrounded in.
Well, that sounds nice. And I know that there are gorgeous trees on the property.
Absolutely.
You haven't had any problems with hurricanes?
No, ma'am. We have the big oak tree that's out front. There has been some removal of some of the limbs that are there, but I need to kind of dig a little bit deeper into what the cause of that was. But we are, of course, the oaks, and we're there throughout our property. We have a lot of patio area, a lot of outdoor spaces that we like to take advantage of the nice weather. Course, not today, but thankfully, North Carolina has four seasons. That's one of the main things that kind of brought us here. But our activities department, as I said, is very robust. We have a lot of beautiful new furniture that we've put out there. So we try to encourage folks to take advantage of that.
So let's stay with that for just a little bit. I know we talked about it a little before. What about, I imagine your volunteers offer entertainment. Is there anybody that is employed or comes in as a volunteer that offers stimulation? In other words, is there an interactive program where people can participate more than just applaud at the end of a piece of music?
True. Very good question. Basically, that is one of the main things that I am focusing on as my new administrative responsibility. I'm coordinating things with our activities department to seek those types of opportunities. As it is now, we have an exercise program. We've got different types of things that we try to engage our residents with. A lot of it depends on their willingness to participate. You know, we basically have three different levels. We have the very active folks that want to do everything, go on every trip, do every activity that we have. And then we have the folks that kind of just want to participate in minimal things throughout the course of the day, maybe just bingo. And then at the end of the day, you know, the third category are the folks that tend to be bedbound. You know, so we have to strategize our activity plan to each person because it's customized based on their individual ability. But yes, in answer to your question, We are constantly seeking ways to engage different residents with different things because we are their home, and we want it to be as home-like as we can, and to have give them experiences that they may or may not have had access to before.
Well, you sound as though you have your handle on all sorts of departments. You're involved with the people. Do you walk around and greet them, or do you have time for that yet?
Well, my plan, I've always been, my management style has always been management by walking around, MBOW. That's MBOWA.
But basically, say what that means, please.
Management by walking around.
Oh.
Basically, what that is the facility is small enough to where there is no reason that I can't touch every resident and every staff member at least once a month. Hopefully more than that, but that's my goal, is to be as involved and as engaged and as accessible as possible. I feel that I just get more results that way. I'm able to build relationships with folks, both staff and residents and families, in that way, and we can avoid potential frustrations or challenges or problems down the road just from an open communication. I have an open door policy. I have that across the board with all residents and families and staff, to where I'm not in some castle on a hill somewhere. I want to be accessible and man of the people. And I think that has served me well in the past. This first month has been somewhat difficult because we've been resolving some issues internally, and that's part of the reason that I'm there now, is we've had some interim administration, some interim transitional leadership, and the staff is just really hungry for somebody that's going to stabilize things and that's not going anywhere, and that's my goal, is I actually relocated here specifically for this position. It's not a rung on a ladder. It's not just a temporary stopgap measure. I am Mayview at this point, so I just look forward to what the future holds. There are a lot of programs within Pruitt Corporate, that is our parent company, that requires you to get out and participate and have resident interviews and staff interviews and interviews with family members. In addition, that's just a mandate for the administrative staff, but there's also opportunities for, we have customer satisfaction surveys for both employees and families. We have something called the Pinnacle Survey, which is a pretty common thing within the long-term care industry, where it's an outside entity that calls families after discharge just to ask how things went, what could it be improved upon, those types of things, because that's part of our quality assurance program. It allows us to see where our shortcomings are, that an independent entity can get answers that we may not be able to. We ask the same types of questions, but they may not be as open to answer us directly as they would someone from the outside. But again, it's just, a lot of it is just maintaining open communication, open dialogue, being accessible. I believe that a smile goes a long way, and I'm very into high touch across the board.
So that takes care of you and your staffers. Tell me, do the residents have a say?
They do. We have a resident council, a very active resident council. Mr. Kuhn is our resident council president. He's fantastic. Very open dialogue. They meet once a month, and then as needed, we can meet more regularly than that. I try to participate in those meetings as invited, because it is a private gathering, but they may invite us to participate, as needed or requested. I've been very fortunate that my interactions with residents has been very positive. I've had a couple of folks that have been a bit of a challenge, but I think that's more from the frustrations of the inconsistent stability prior to my arrival. And that's not a pat on my back. It's just the way that things kind of went to open the door for me to get here. I've always been kind of a customer service guy. I've always had a love for healthcare, especially the geriatric older population. That's just kind of where my heart is. And so I'm very pleased and privileged to be able to give back to a community that is so hungry for it.
Okay. So all along you've been telling us about your goals, but if you could sort of give us a tight-fisted view of your vision and any innovations that you plan for Mayview in the future. You've touched on several. Mm-hmm. What would you say your three most important things would be?
The main thing, I think, as we look to the future, well, I'll kind of start at the beginning. As from history, we can use what we have experienced to become better, to maintain open dialogue, to maintain open communication. I think that that has historically been a challenge for prior leadership. In the present, that is what I am looking forward to do in developing a culture of that type. And in the future, what we're trying to do is we're actually doing that conversion to add assisted living as a third component to where the residents of Raleigh and the major metropolitan area of North Carolina here can age in place. The goal is, you know, as our baby boomers have aged, you know, they want alternatives. There are development of waiver programs where people can stay home longer. There are things that are working within the VA now to where people have choice with hospital if they don't have access to a state veterans home or to a VA facility. There are a lot of things that just by demand we are rising to meet those challenges. And I think that part of our responsibility is we have to be able to adapt and we have to be attractive to folks that have options.
All right. We have just a few minutes left. If families seeking assistance for their loved one, who can they contact for information?
Families that need assistance can contact Nikitha Applewhite or Scott Breedlove. They're both in our welcome admissions team. And our facility phone number is 919-828-2348. Or they can ask for myself, John Salter. I'm the facility administrator. Or Miss Yvonne Weed is our new facility director of health services. And we know that you have options, but there's only one Mayview experience. And we are here to serve you and look forward to meeting you to say welcome home.
Okay. Well, John Salter, thank you so much for being with us on Community Relations. It was a privilege to meet you.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Thank you for spending this last half hour with me and Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. I'm Sonia Usech-Kuhn. See you next time on the radio.